Welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you on The Ticket. We are giving you guys a chance to win a Mayweather-McGregor party pack, which includes a gift card to buy the fight, some swag, got a t-shirt, hat, and poster.
Yeah, we just saw these t-shirts. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, they are cool. So keep on listening to that. I'm going to give that away before the end of the show. We got that one party pack to give away for the next one per show the rest of the week. And then Leroy and I are heading out to Vegas, man. Heading out to Vegas.
Yeah!
Next week for the showdown. Yep. Mayweather.
McGregor! You know what I can't wait for?
What?
To go eat at the restaurant that has meat happy hour.
Oh, yeah.
They have meat happy hour. All steaks have price.
I'm all about it, man. I can't wait.
Yes.
I'm very, very excited about this.
Uh-huh.
So here's the Jose Fernandez thing. This was also mentioned Barry Jackson's column in the Miami Herald, which had a lot of good ownership nuggets. It says the planned statue to honor Jose Fernandez, which was Jeffrey Loria's idea, is now very much in question because it will not be erected before Bruce Sherman and Derek Jeter take over. It will ultimately be the new owner's call. The matter has not yet been discussed, but the sale only agreed to in the past days. And, you know, them still trying to raise money. So that's an interesting one. If Jeter and Bruce Sherman will be into putting up the Jose Fernandez statue. They apparently also want to take down the home run sculpture, but apparently that's not just an easy ownership decision because that's apparently county property, technically. Like, it has to do with, like, the Miami-Dade art project, so they can't just take out the home run sculpture if they please. I'd imagine they have to write a big old fat check to the art project.
You like it?
The home run sculpture? It's fine. I really like, I've never been that against it. People hate it all around baseball. But we have everything. We got nude women in left field. You think anybody who has a Hall of Fame vote likes the nude women? I'm gonna say no.
They're not nude, they're painted.
Leroy, they're nude. All right? Yes, they are covered in paint, but that is all that is covering them. There's no clothing.
Somebody said no to the statue, yes to the sculpture.
Yes to keeping the sculpture or yes to the sculpture or yes to it staying?
Yes to it staying.
I understand why Loria wants to put up the statue. And I'm on the side of, I know what Jose did was wrong. It was a very tragic thing that happened. Two other people lost their lives in that situation. But I do think that there is a bit of a separation of sports and life there.
You kind of have to do that. I mean, they're not passing it off as he was a humanitarian or anything like that.
No.
He was a great baseball player that meant a lot for the organization.
And brought a lot of joy to the fans.
And they want to put a statue up to remember him.
Mm-hmm.
Even though how he died probably isn't, you know, how you want to remember him by.
No, definitely not.
And so from that standpoint, do you have to separate the baseball player from the human being?
I do think that if it's not up by the time Loria is gone, I don't think it, I got a feeling it won't get put up. I think that they'll lean towards not doing it because I think there's such a personal touch there with Loria and the family, you know, bringing over his grandmother from Cuba. I kind of think that's like the last piece that he wants to put there. I don't have a huge problem with him wanting to do that, but I think that it's kind of his window. Like, once the team is relinquished, I don't think that the other owner should be forced to do it. I get why Loria wants to do it. You know, there was the points where, you know, there was this column in USA Today where they talked to Loria about it, and you know, he was asked about the toxicology report, and he's like, I didn't know that, Jose. He's like, so you're saying you don't accept? He's like, I accept it, but that's just not the guy I knew. And, you know, remember when we talked to Pedro Gomez right around the All-Star game? Because he interviewed his mother, and his mother still doesn't believe that he was doing cocaine. So there's so much that they know and experienced with Jose that I have a hard time condemning them wanting to commemorate him in that way because he meant so much to him in that way. But I will understand if Jeter doesn't want to put it up.
And here's a texter, and I can't disagree with him. You build a statue for Clemente for dying on his way to deliver goods to the needy, not to the kid who died drunk and high on a temper tantrum. Or I don't know what he was saying there, but
because there's reports that the reason he was out so angry, he got into an argument with his girlfriend, and that's why he was so in the bag and was blowing off steam the way he was, and was you know, loaded up on alcohol and was doing cocaine. Like he was upset.
Right. Gotta tell you, when I'm mad at home, I'm not thinking about going out and doing that.
What are you doing?
Nothing. Watch TV.
Fighting kangaroos?
No. Yeah. Get out of here. We need a professional. We need a professional on here so we can stop this nonsense. And you guys making up tough guy stories.
Not a tough guy story. I'm just telling you that I'd rather fight never mind.
Never mind.
Let's get the headlines. Right.
This is WAXY AM South Miami and WSFS HD2 Miramar.
And these headlines are brought to you by ADT. Home isn't just a place, it's a feeling of knowing you're safe. ADT lets you take that feeling with you. Learn more at ADT.com. Mullins are in action right now. They're up 4-0. No homers for Giancarlo Stanton. He has a single and was hit in the back. So that's what his day looks like right now. He did reach 44 yesterday, as the Mullins are trying to take 2 out of 3 from the San Francisco Giants. Our job's all there. That's why nobody's in this building right now. Everybody from our employer is over there partying it up. See Beast out there? He's not doing the show today. He's there with his toilet.
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing that, do you think some people look at it as, I don't have to work, so I'll go to the baseball game?
I don't know. Like, it's an interesting thing. Does Beast feel like he can do more ass-kissing at a baseball game? Like, what is...
He's trying to corner the market on ass-kissing.
I don't feel like I'm a huge ass-kisser. Like, I know my place where you kind of got to play it up to the boss. But I saw our boss today. Not Len, our big boss, the GM. And he goes, go to the game today? I said, nah, man, I'm going to stick by and do the show. He says, all right, we'll catch you at the next one. Like, what does the boss like more? Does the boss like me going there and schmoozing, or does he like me staying here and doing work?
See, if it meant going to a baseball game with coworkers or doing something I enjoy doing and have fun doing.
Right.
I mean, this is fun for me. Like, we have a blast. So, almost like you're punishing me, making me go to a baseball game.
Yeah, kind of.
Right.
Even though the Marlins are fun to watch right now. But still. And the nude ladies in the Clevelander. Anyway.
Gotta tell you, I wouldn't have minded that, though.
You wouldn't have.
But you can't even do it right. You can't take it in right. You got coworkers with you. Like, you can't. Like,
Man, I can tell you from the last time that they did this, the coworkers were so tilted. There wasn't a lot of judgment going on.
I can't. Like, when we used to have Christmas parties and various parties throughout the year that the team would throw for the whole building.
Right.
Everybody that worked there. And even when I went there, like, you know how Gronk was dancing and stuff at his Christmas? I could do that. Like, I would feel like, no, people give you the stink eye every time you walk in the building.
Yeah. Not Beast, though. He's going to be there, drunk, kissing ass. Time for your training camp updates, brought to you by Coconut Creek Auto Mall. Coconut Creek Auto Mall is friendly and knowledgeable at the price you want. Sandbar Grill in Coconut Grove is home of the Fish Taco, named Best Sports Bar 2017 by Miami New Times and by Lexus of North Miami. An amazing automotive experience. News today out of Dolphins camp, Leroy. The Dolphins got themselves a lesson in culture as the captain, Udonis Haslam, graced them with their presence, gave him a little lesson on winning championships.
I can tell you.
Guest speaker.
I can give you some ways to win championships.
Okay.
Shaq and LeBron.
Oh, how dare you.
I'm just saying, it does help if you have the best player in the league the time.
Oh, he was the Dirk Stopper in 2006. The Dirk Stopper.
He was the best player.
He wasn't the best player on the team, all right? And Dwayne Wade had one of the best finals performances of all time.
Agreed.
In 06.
Agreed. Okay, I'll throw D-Wade. Have a D-Wade.
Okay, but he was the Dirk Stopper. And that mid-range jumper was
Shaq silky smooth. Shaq was the everything. Oh, you're talking about Udonis.
I'm talking about Udonis.
Yeah. All right.
He
didn't hurt that you had big fella standing behind you.
He tweets out, championship culture talk with the home team. At Miami Dolphins, hashtag fins up. You think Jay Cutler knows who Udonis Haslam is?
Don't care.
He goes,
I mean, yeah.
Who is this guy?
Yeah. have you ever seen Jay Cutler excited? Throw a fist pump?
Nope.
Yeah?
Nope.
Right?
Never.
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 Like, I know people like that. It drives me crazy because you can't tell if they're happy, sad, upset, or whatever, but that's just his personality.
Yep. Surly bastard.
And I can't, and you know, like everybody wants somebody to be happy like you would be happy, or sad or mad like you would be sad. And I'm like, no, man, people do it differently. People do this. Some people get mad, they get quiet.
Yep.
Some people get mad, they get angry, and watch out. It's just part of the thing. Jay Cutler is just, you know, like he's nonchalant about everything, which creeps everybody out.
Yes.
Because I've never, as long as I've been around football, ever heard anybody say, I don't need to be in that good of shape to play the position I play. Even the kickers run laps. Right? The kickers.
I've never seen a kicker run lap.
They had to run tests.
Every time I was in a Dolphins training camp, it would just see the trio of the kicker, the long snapper, and the punter just carrying a giant bag of footballs all over the place. Nobody
running. They always have that big bag of balls, don't they?
They're like, oh, hot out here. Let's go to the Saban bubble.
How about this? In Minnesota, on Wednesday, we would start practice. They would drive to the stadium and practice in the stadium indoors. We never even see them.
Never?
Nope. They go for lunch, come back for the kicking period.
Does like the special teams coach with them go with them?
No. Nope. Because you got other special teams. And the kicker can't kick every day. So most of the time we use the jugs machine to do punts or kickoffs.
It's like an athletic version of this fake spreadsheet.
Right. I'm telling you.
You ever do the fake spreadsheet?
What do you mean?
So, like, when you're working in an office, the move is, like, you either play games or you're on Twitter or whatever, but then you have a minimized spreadsheet that looks like you're doing work. So when the boss walks by, bring that up. Looks like you've been doing work the whole time. Fake spreadsheet.
Beast is one of the busiest people in the building. They never get nothing done.
Never.
Never.
All I ever, because you can go into the bullpen and listen in the Beast's office, and all he's ever doing is just drumming on his table.
Right.
He's never, He's never doing
on his table or on his stomach.
No, on his table. I can hear the hardwood. I know the different acoustics. I can tell.
Somebody say Cutler would be to make a great poker player. And here's the other guy. I'm here on my lunch break having a Cutler port menthol.
Other news that came out today just before the show. The Nevada State Athletic Commission, they have approved Mayweather and McGregor shrinking the size of their gloves. They were supposed to wear 10-ounce gloves. They have now gone down to 8-ounce gloves, which is a first for this type of a fight, because typically above 147 pounds, you have to fight in 10-ounce gloves. They said, we're doing a one-time exception. And if you guys heard McGregor last week at his open workouts, this is what he thought about if the commission were to agree to do that.
Trust me, if we're 8 ounces, I'm struggling to give him 2 rounds. And that's the God's honest truth. The only reason I'll maybe give him 2 rounds is because in this game, the referee stops me from pounding his head into the canvas. And he has 10 seconds to recover. That's the only reason he might get to the second round.
I wonder if he'll forget. Like, if he does get him on the canvas, do you think he'll pounce on him?
No. It's funny. Like, just hearing, like, I don't understand how a guy could talk so much trash. And this is all fighters talk about how much they're going to do, and then they get knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what were you thinking?
They got to.
Remember the guy used to always say, I'm going to take the fight to Tyson?
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not. I mean, come on.
Who was that receiver back in the day for the Eagles? Was it Freddie Mitchell? Remember him back in the day? And he was just like, he had a stint where he had like one good playoff game, and he was walking around like Conor McGregor, acting like he's the next Randy Moss.
And everybody just trashed him.
And everybody's like, this guy's garbage. And yeah. every time, but like he was a master on the microphone.
Yep.
And so everybody wanted to get his quotes about what he was going to say. I mean, Connor's got to think that. Like, what else are you going to do? If he's talked himself to this point, don't you? I mean, you kind of got to believe it, don't you?
I mean,
he's probably going to get worked.
He's not. I mean, look, there is nothing that he has shown on any type of video that says he has the capabilities of doing what he say he gonna do. Because doing the arm thing.
The McGregor challenge. That's my favorite thing right now, right, on social media.
Who told you that would look good?
He does that though. That's not like a new thing.
All right.
And he also does like these leprechaun skips with the uppercut.
I wonder if this is true. Somebody check on this. What's up with this Chick-fil-A in Falcons' new stadium that won't open on Sundays?
Huh? Hold on.
Is this accurate?
There's no way that's true.
They're just saying it's true.
There's no way. You can't have a Chick-fil-A in an NFL stadium and it's not open. What's the point?
In Atlanta, there's a Chick-fil-A.
But in the stadium?
In the stadium.
I don't accept this. Are they doing college games there? How is that possible?
Does Georgia Tech play there?
Are you sure that's not an Onion article?
Does Onion?
Yeah.
What's an Onion article?
Onion, like it's a spoof.
I'm seeing the article here from the Washington Post.
And what does it say? It says they have a Chick-fil-A in the stadium?
No, but Georgia Tech plays there too.
Do they?
Yeah.
It says it will not be open for most games.
What's the point? Why even staff it? Why? Just because you're Chick-fil-A? Just put a sign up.
Why spend money to be in a stadium if you're not going to be open when the stadium is going to be packed?
All right. Listen, it's time. We got to start doing our season previews. We are going to dive in next to the NFC North, the King of the North. Next. All right. Welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you on the ticket. Keep on listening. Got a real good feeling that soon we're going to give away that Mayweather-McGregor party pack. Get a gift card and we'll buy the fight on pay-per-view. You also get some Mayweather-McGregor swag, a t-shirt, hat, and official fight poster, all courtesy of our friends at Mayweather Promotions. And we're going out for the fight next week. Very, very exciting.
Yeah!
In the midst of all that, though, we got some football we got to dive into. We want to do our little preview of the season coming up. So we're going to start off. We're going to do divisions as we break down leading up into the start of the regular season, and we'll eventually lead up to the Dolphins division, although I got a feeling that's going to end up with those rat bastard Patriots on top, but that's a story for another day. For today, we'll start off with the NFC Kings of the North. So, let me know when you got that music there, Grant, for the ESPN. Anyway, we'll dive into it, though, in the midst of that. Boom. Leroy, let's start with the worst team in the division last year.
The Chicago Bears.
The Bears.
I mean, they have no players.
Yeah.
Mike Glennon is going to be their quarterback. Mike Glennon.
They were gung-ho.
They were so great about signing Mike Glennon, they went and traded half the draft picks for Mitch Trubisky.
Yep.
Who will end up being the quarterback. And it's an awkward situation because when you look at bad organizations, they spend their money poorly. So either they shouldn't have traded draft picks to get Mitch Trubisky, or they shouldn't have signed Mike Glennon.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Glennon, I think, is going to go by the way of Matt Flynn. I think that's where it's going.
Like, you think?
Yep. I don't even think he's going to end up starting for him.
But he did play more than
Matt Flynn
then
did.
Matt
Flynn had one good game.
Two
good games.
400 yards twice.
Right. This, though, I just think that you draft the guy number 3 overall. You stink in your first preseason game. He was good. I think it's going to go by that's how it's going to end up.
What do you have to lose? You 3-13 last
now,
year.
Here's what's the craziest thing. Name me a team that was 3-13. That had a running back that averaged 5.2 yards a carry.
That's wild.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah, Jordan Howard was second in rushing last year.
It doesn't happen. How do you play on a bad team? I'm talking about terrible team.
Terrible.
And average 5.2 yards a carry. It, keep giving him the ball. So I don't know, you know, what that dynamic is. They can't score, right?
Nope.
But they're fifth in the league in rushing yards per carry, which means that if you just ran the ball down the field, you'd score every time.
That's why.
Because you average, as a team, almost 5 yards a carry.
Well, that's why I would be confident going with the young quarterback. Like, if you're going to give him that
safety
blanket.
It's a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, I don't see what the point is. Like, I know you made the investment on money, but sometimes you just got to admit a mistake. Like the guy that just picked up, Robert Aguayo. Like, he got cut on Hard Knocks last night. The kicker from FSU.
Was it?
It was brutal.
Was it brutal?
Oh, it was brutal. It was. He's just like, listen, this is, you know, this is bad. The Tampa Bay Bucks GM, he looks at me and goes, listen, this isn't an indictment on you as the guy. I like Robert Aguayo, the guy. And you're just like, oh, when they got to go to your personality.
Now, here, you know what that sounds like? He sounds like you. He sounds like you talking about LeBron. No. I like LeBron, the person. But he's a rat bastard on the basketball court because how he left. It's not the fact that he left.
Yeah.
It's how he left.
His sports character is lacking.
So, we've been doing Hard Knocks all year.
Anyway, thing they got to see if they get Kevin White back into the fold. Like, he was injured last year. He had injury questions coming into it, so maybe he can be more of a force for him because they had really nothing on the outside.
I mean, here's the problem. You may have a running back that ran for 1,300 yards, but your leading receiver only has 66 catches.
Yeah.
That is always going to be a problem. And you lost Alshon Jeffrey, who I always wonder how good he was.
Well, it's kind of a weird thing with this division because they were the best team in the division by far running, but they were by far the worst team in the division.
Right.
You know? Like,
right.
Every other team in this division stinks at running the football, but they were really good at it, and they were awful.
I can't explain. And it's not like they were absolutely horrible stopping people. You know, they were decent defensively. It's just, I mean, they probably played, and you could probably check this. I'll tell you how they lost. They lost a lot of close games. That's usually a team that, you know, is in every game going into the fourth quarter and don't have, like, that extra charge at the end of the game.
So how do you think? Do you think it's a big leap for them? Are they around the same place? What do you think of the
Chicago Bears
this season?
There's no difference between 3-13 and, say, 5-11, 6-10. Like, you know, you squeak out a couple of those close ones. You get a bounce of the ball, too. You're not competing for a playoff spot. You're not going to be that good because there's still a lot of places on that football team they got to figure out. They got to figure out quarterback. Like, you created a quarterback controversy.
Yeah. They got smitten in the draft process. That's what happened.
I guess.
They got smitten.
I don't know.
That's how it rolls. Let's move on to the Minnesota Vikings. Last year they were 8-8. They, of course, had to deal with the issue of losing Teddy Bridgewater. He's still not ready to come back. You don't know if he's ever going to come back.
They don't know if he's ever going to. But they do have, look, Matthew Stafford is a good quarterback. It sometimes gets lost because he throws a lot of the mid-range stuff. He completed like 70% of his passes. The problem is that how much of a deep threat does Minnesota have? And they've always been built around running the football.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they couldn't run the football. Their defense has always been good. You can hang your hat on that defense. They're going to get after you. They're going to keep them in every game.
Well, they were the worst rushing team in the league last year. You go and you draft Dalvin Cook out of FSU. So you got some defense skill set there where you're going to add a guy who was really, really talented for the Seminoles. They also brought in Latavius Murray. He's dealing with an ankle issue right now. So, you know, Dalvin's kind of taking a jump on him on the depth chart. So
how about Stacy Coley?
Stacy Coley's on the. We got a lot of Canes in this division.
Yeah.
You know, and then Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford had an okay year last year. He got beat to holy hell. Like, their line was terrible.
But understand that he didn't have any different of a year than the last quarterback had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all they can do. They are limited based on their whole team was built around running the football. And then when you can't run the football, it kind of puts your team as a whole in a bit of a bind. You have to either move forward or try to rebuild that same thing, and I don't think there's too many more APs.
They're kind of they remind me a little bit of what the Dolphins are in that, you know, you kind of are in this You know, I think people are a little bit more confident that Ryan's going to make a comeback. But you do feel a bit of a holding pattern as a franchise because you felt great about where Teddy Bridgewater was leading your franchise, and now you don't know where his future's at. I think it's a little bit with the Dolphins. Like, you're expectant of, all right, Adam Gase, Ryan Tannehill, marriage made in heaven. These guys seemingly really like each other. They're on the same page. But now he's injured. You're on Jay Cutler. This feels like a weird year. I kind of feel the same way about Minnesota. Like,
well, here's the thing that you can look at. First of all, when your leading rusher has 539 yards, you got problems. The other thing is, Sam Bradford completed 71% of his passes and threw 20 touchdowns and only had 5 picks.
Mm-hmm.
If you can continue that, that means that you're always going to be in every game. You do have an excellent defense, and if you can find some kind of running game, look, they're going to be in the mix.
Listen, they look like they added some talent in the backfield, but I still feel like they're probably about where they are, though. I don't think
they're going to be 8-8, 9-7. They're going to be right around there.
I think they're in the same place.
Yep.
Moving on to the Lions, Leroy.
Who, they made the playoffs, but kind of disappointing team because they started off 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
They started off 5-0 last year, and everybody's, this is the year. This is Stafford. This is the year. And then they just... like, it went 3-8 the rest of the season. So, you want to talk about can't run the football.
Another
team. Leading rusher had 368 yards, and I never heard of
them. And they also just suffered a big blow on their defense. They lose Kerry Hyder for the season. He had a torn Achilles, same injury that Tony Lippett had. He had a bust. For a defense that had its issues last year, he was one of their breakout guys. Now he's done for the season, so that's a big blow for you going into the year. Never great.
Right.
And you're in a bit of a spot right now where, they hope that – I don't think the receiving talent's terrible. I mean, Golden Tate had a good year for them, over 1,000 yards.
Here's the thing. Golden Tate kind of does the same things that Jarvis Landry does without his he doesn't catch as well as Jarvis Landry, and he's faster than Jarvis Landry. So they can move him to outside. But he's mostly that mid-range guy. He's not a guy that's going to stretch the field. And can you win consistently with a mid-range guy that's your star receiver?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. They're also excited about their draft pick, Kenny Galladay, out of Northern Illinois. He was their third-round pick. So maybe that brings a bit of a spark to him. It gives him a little bit more. And then I guess... from this standpoint, they are excited about Jared Davis, their first round pick, because they had to add pieces on that defense. Now it's tough that you lose Hyder because he was one of your playmakers for you last year. But I don't know. This is a tough one for me. I don't have a great feel for him.
I mean, they could go either way. I think you're splitting hairs between them and say Minnesota. But I will tell you this. Stafford will sling it. He'll throw it. He had 4,500 yards thrown last year, 24 touchdowns and 10 interceptions.
I'm kind of
rude. He's a gunslinger, and he will throw it. They throw it all over the place, but he gets hit a lot too.
I'm going to tell you what, though. I'm not going to be mad if there's an injury and we get to see Kaya move up that chart. I like to see what he can do.
Sure? Are you sure?
Yeah.
He started down here and you didn't really...
I don't care. Listen, I had to do the Pat Riley because his ass didn't get drafted until the sixth or seventh... what was it, seventh round? Seventh round?
Sixth round.
Sixth round?
Yeah.
I had to do the damn Pat Riley because I thought he was going to go in the third. I thought somebody would fall in love with him. I want to see what the guy can do in the pros. Now, no quarterback issues with Green Bay. 10-6 last year.
Yep.
And we had a discussion this week. You were wondering, why is Aaron Rodgers a guy who seemingly gets a pass? Now, 10-6, not great. Good, they won the division with that.
Right.
But he is the show there, man. He carries a lot of what they are and deals with a lot of their shortcomings.
Here's all you need to know about what Green Bay thinks about their team. First draft pick, Kevin King. Second draft pick, Josh Jones. Martavius Adams. Vince Beigel. I think that's how you pronounce it.
A lot of defense.
A lot of defense. Because it's been horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And you average 27 points a game and 372 yards a game, and you give up 374 points. 374 yards a game.
All right, but.
Like, come on.
However, even though that defense stinks, that offense.
Right.
Come on.
I mean, Jordy Nelson Like, you remember when Jordy Nelson first came onto the scene, we're like, white wide receiver, whatever. And you just look at his numbers from year to year, and you're like, what? Here's the other thing you need to understand. Jordy Nelson had 104 catches.
Mm-hmm.
Devontae Adams had 91 catches. Randall Cobb had 78 catches. What? That's unheard of to have that many guys with that many catches.
Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams were 1 and 2 in touchdowns.
Right.
That's crazy.
So, look, if they short...
And let's not forget, they added Martellus Bennett.
Right. Tight end. Yep. Hopefully, if they come down here, we won't try to cover him with a billy club. Now, here's what I'll say about Green Bay. Whenever they have gone far in the playoffs, hasn't been about their defense. It has been about one fact. Can they run the football? When Green Bay has had anything that resembles a running game, they've gone far in the playoffs. No running game, they always seem to come up short.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they're going to do as far as running the football.
Yeah, but I still think they're the best team in the division. I think Aaron.
There's no questions there.
A lot of that.
Again, I'm looking at it along the lines of, yeah, man, there's a lot of quarterbacks that don't get to say that we're the best team in the division. That's all that matters.
For right now, though, I mean, the way I look at it, I think it's going to be, I think top and bottom stay the same, and I think that Minnesota and Detroit will flip. But
that's it.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of changes.
I mean, Chicago's going to be last. Detroit, it's hard to make a Detroit, man, because, like, there are times where you think they are contenders, and then there's times you just want to turn your TV off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like that for what? 5 or 6 years? No matter who the coach is, it's the same team. You've had probably, over the last 5 or 6 years, a quarterback that has been near the top in as far as yards every year, and you had the best receiver, some would argue the best receiver in the league, and you went 0-16.
Yeah, and he also left by telling you you weren't going to the Super Bowl, so it wasn't worth my body getting hurt anymore.
Right, exactly.
Crazy.
Right.
Open up those phone lines, Grant. Here's what we're going to do. Caller number 7 on the contest line right now. 786-534-0790. That's 786-534-0790. Caller number 7 is going to win themselves a Mayweather versus McGregor party pack on August 26th, next Saturday. Undefeated world champion Floyd Mayweather battles UFC superstar Conor McGregor in the most anticipated event of the year. To celebrate, we're giving away a pay-per-view party pack that includes everything you need to host your own viewing party at home. The winner gets a $250 gift card to use towards the purchase of the event and refreshments. Also included, some Mayweather McGregor swag, a t-shirt, hat, and official fight poster. Demand for this event will be unprecedented, so order your pay-per-view early. Enter now online for another chance to win a Mayweather McGregor party pack at theticketmiami.com, courtesy of Mayweather Promotions. We're back after this. Welcome back, Toby Leroy.
Got to get that Realmuto bobblehead.
Oh, is that coming out?
Yeah.
Excellent. By the way, we're going to do some fantasy football fun on the show. If you want to join our league, bangers and mash at theticketmiami.com if you're interested.
Yes, we're going to pick eight guys.
Eight guys.
And we're going to do this.
Be prepared for Robbie Trash Talk as he is one to unload on the hot take cannon.
He swear he is the expert on sports.
Yep.
But he bets according to the humidity.
Yeah. It's weird. Humidity of teams going to elevation.
Now, the 500 mile rule, that's a good one. Thursday night, 500 miles.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm distracted. This is definitely fake news. This is news about Mayweather getting knocked out. Yeah. First of all, I don't think there is this writer doesn't exist, because somebody was saying that there was this rumor yesterday on some of the blogs that Mayweather got knocked out by Zab Judah yesterday in training, which, you know, and then demanded everybody left the ring. But like, this guy's got like 200.
Who demanded everybody left the ring?
Mayweather.
I thought he was knocked out.
Exactly. And then
you're going to get knocked out. You get knocked out, but not knocked out enough. You can tell everybody, I'm embarrassed. Everybody, please leave.
And everybody, and also, this guy's got like 280 followers, which, okay, some people don't have a lot of followers. Then I can't find him. I don't find any proof that this guy is actually a writer for this paper. So, fake news. Fake news.
That's not even Onion. What the hell's Onion News?
Onion. You've never heard of the Onion? Onion's like Onion does like spoof articles.
Okay.
Spoof articles. So like something just wildly ridiculous. I don't know. Let's go to the Onion. I'll go to the Onion's website and we'll find, what is their topic du jour today. You know, they write some funny stuff like, Trump warns removing Confederate statues could be a slippery slope to eliminating racism entirely. Well, that's kind of close. That could be the truth, actually. No one quite sure why an 8-year-old has the voice of a lifelong chain smoker. That's not real. It's fake.
But wait, what about, was it in India with the 2-year-old that was a chain smoker?
That's true. I remember that kid.
Right.
That was a wild video.
He was smoking them like Andrew Dice Clay.
He was.
Throwing them around. Yeah.
Yeah, man. But no, this is all nonsense stories. So this Zab Judah knocking out Mayweather and sparring, like, this guy doesn't exist. He got 410 retweets though on his.
Of course he did.
But you know what? Basically, it's like the fake Woj. He's like the fake. Right now, it's high time for boxing rumors and shenanigans. Nobody knows who the Can you name a boxing reporter? Who the hell covers boxing? I can name like two guys, and I like boxing. Right. I know the guy from Yahoo and the guy from ESPN.
And so you just call them a guy, so you don't know him that well.
Well, because nobody cares what their names are.
Yeah.
And I also hold a grudge against one of them.
Jeez.
The ESPN guy.
Is there anybody you don't have, like, some type of beef with?
Yeah. I mean, you know, love Pat Riley.
Oh.
Love him.
And Hassan. Yeah.
Hey, Pat, we're going to find your murderer.
But let me ask you.
What?
You love Hassan. Would you trade him for Kyrie?
Yes, I would.
I don't love him that much.
I do love him that much. You're giving me Kyrie Irving.
Right.
Kyrie Irving, man.
You think Kyrie can go somewhere and play defense?
Come here. Sprinkle that culture on him.
I don't know what. Like, look, man. I'm going to say this for the last time. Culture is great. Talent is better.
Okay.
Okay.
But what if you have talent and culture?
Okay, but the talent is what's going to win games.
Chris Bosh couldn't defend a lick before he got here.
He had the ability too, though.
Right. So maybe Kyrie has the ability.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And they can harness it.
Harness it.
Or that's just culture. See, you don't think. That's why I say, you say Isaiah Thomas, he can't get culture because he's 5'7". He could.
I'm not paying a guy 5'9 to play basketball $30 million.
All right, well, that's.
I don't care how good he is.
That's what it's going to cost.
All right.
You got to do it.
No, you don't.
Oh. If you could get in a room with Isaiah next year, you got to do it.
No, you don't.
You don't?
No.
All right.
No. No.
Disagree.
Perk, would you sign Isaiah Thomas for $30 million? No. You
he's
know
why?
Because you say, yeah, his talent might warrant it, but he's 5'9".
I am worried about a 5'9 guy with a bum hip.
I don't care about the bum hip. He could have two. He could be a pogo stick. He's 5'9". You know what he can't be? 6'2".
Would you be more concerned about his hips or Pouncey's hips?
His hips, because he's 5'9". He needs to jump.
But Pouncey needs his hips to explode.
He needs to squat.
He needs to squat.
Like, yeah.
That's the thing. Crazy.
Is Pouncey really going to play tomorrow?
I think he's taking snaps. No.
Told you. Get.
Is he playing week one? Week one, Perk? Week one, he's playing.
No.
You're going to the dark
board. No.
You're going to the dark board.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
Broke hips. Broke hip. He had three hip procedures. Did three hip procedures.
We just got 100% back here.
Woo! Okay. Hot you fall for. You know what you're falling for? Fairy dust.
You're going for the
falling dark.
Falling for it. You were shook because you're going to the dark board of doom.
Man, the guy had bad hips. You don't look.
Your ass is going to be nipple.
He's got a
nervous.
Squat.
Let me tell you, you are going to get nipple clamped for a segment.
No, look.
That's happening.
No,
that's happening.
I'm not worried.
It's going to be sensational.
I don't want. understand.
And I don't mean, like, about the sensation in your nipples, which will be lost.
Kurt, me and you are a little bit older. We've seen some of our friends that have had hip replacement, right? You've seen them walk around, and even though they say they feel better, something don't look right.
Stop trying to taint the jury pool. He's said his piece 100%.
This guy has had 3 hip procedures.
Kirk said, yep, but he's playing.
100%.
Yep. Okay.
100%.
Okay.
100.
You keep chewing on that gum.
You better start putting
it on. You snapping on that gum that much more don't make it more right.
I'm going to tell you this. You better start icing those nipples because they're going to get clamped. Or you better work on your dart game. One of the two. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.